my name's Greg Clinker. I've been involved in the Labour Party for nearly 40 years. I'm not quite sure how long I've been a member, more than 30 years. My actual preference is for Angela Rayner, but she's not running. So I was hoping that Angela Rayner and Rebecca Long-Bailey would run the other way round, where Rayner would run for the leadership and Rebecca Long-Bailey would run for the deputy. I'm hedging towards Rebecca Long-Bailey for the obvious reasons that she is the left-wing candidate. If Keir Starmer would convince me that he is a left-wing candidate, I would be persuaded about him.
My name's Ross Armour. I've been a Labour Party member for nearly 4 years now. During that time, I've held the position of CLP Secretary here in Corby in East Northants. Anything I say today is not necessarily a view of the CLP, it's just mine personally. In terms of the leadership contest, I have decided to support Keir Starmer. The reason for that is I do believe that he has the necessary leadership qualities not only to unite the party and stabilise us, which is probably what we need to do first before we move forward, but I feel as though he can appeal to a broad enough set of the electorate that will in turn help us win an election.
I guess part of what we have here encapsulated in you two Labour Party supporters is the left wing versus the right wing of the party. Is that fair?
I think that's a fair comment, yeah. In terms of the unity point, the right wing of the party always talk about unity until the party has the temerity to elect a left wing candidate. They did it with Michael Foot. They did it with Jeremy Corbyn. Okay, Jeremy Corbyn won a landslide leadership election. His mandate was equally as strong as Tony Blair's. Corbyn won a landslide leadership. The right wing of the party, Keir Starmer included, never accepted him from the start. Keir Starmer resigned as part of the so-called chicken coup when they tried to bring him down. I don't believe the unity point. His unity point is, you know, now that we've got rid of the left-wing candidate, everyone be unified. But he wasn't unified when he had the chance to be unified. In terms of the electability, I definitely accept the argument that the Labour Party, one of the big problems that the Labour Party had at this election is professionalism. And I think there's lots of reasons for that, but I accept the point. So I do think that Keir Starmer has got that professionalism, you know, because he's held high office. But I also think that being leader of the opposition is a massive learning curve that no one is ready for until they do it. So the example I give is David Cameron. David Cameron was absolutely awful when he started, but he learned. Whilst I accept the professionalism of Keir Starmer, I think Rebecca Long-Bailey, who is very inexperienced, has got time to learn. There's not going to be an election for 5 years.
One of the criticisms of Rebecca Long-Bailey is that she's continuity Corbyn. We've heard that. You might think that's unfair.
That's just another one of these ridiculous, insulting phrases that's been dreamed up by the media. To call a professional, very capable woman continuity old man. It's just an insult. It's an example of how the mainstream media are just going to carry on where they've left off with all these ridiculous pejoratives. Rebecca Long-Bailey is her own person. She'll have her own views. She'll have her own policies. And she should be assessed on what she says and on what she's done. And that's how I'm assessing Keir Starmer. I'm not assessing Keir Starmer on what he's done when he was a DPP. I'm assessing him on what he's done in the shadow cabinet and what he's done as a Labour Party politician.
Ross.
I don't necessarily accept the... I think we have to get away from the whole right wing of the party versus the left wing of the party argument, because if we carry on down that road, the party won't unite anyway. I'm not entirely sure what the right wing of the party necessarily is. What I can say, if there is such a thing, I'm not part of it.
To be fair to Greg, that was probably my phrase rather
yeah,
than
no, I don't, I'm not criticising Greg. It was you that obviously said that. And Keir Starmer himself, I appreciate there's still time left in this leadership contest, but already he has built up quite a large number of CLP endorsements. I do believe that he has the capability to appeal to a broad range of people within the party. What I will say is this is a leadership contest, and everyone within the party should, and I believe will, unite behind the leader. For example, here locally in the most recent general election...
It wasn't Greg's point there that they didn't do that under Jeremy Corbyn, and that didn't help the party in the last election.
Well, that is the case, because I agree with that. I mean, certainly here locally, our local party here was entirely united behind our candidate, Beth Miller. She was an excellent candidate. We have a duty as party members as well to unite as one. And obviously, Keir Starmer has already said very early on in this campaign, don't criticise the last 4 years and don't criticise the time that we were in government. For me, that is a unity candidate.
The idea is to get a unity candidate, whoever that might be, someone who can unite the party and take you forward. What do you think happens if that candidate can't be found and the current divisions continue?
We lose elections. The biggest reasons the Tories struggled in 2017 is because they weren't united. One of the biggest reasons they won in 2019 is because they were united. The way that Boris Johnson united the Tory party is by expelling anyone who disagreed with him. There needs to be some sort of party discipline. The history tells me of Michael Foot, where the right wing did not accept him, and the right wing of the Labour Party effectively gave Thatcher her landslide in 1983. In 1983, Thatcher polled a lower percentage of the vote than she did in 1979, but she got a landslide because the Social Democratic Party split the Labour Party vote. In 97, in the early 90s, I gave money to the Labour Party. I campaigned for Tony Blair. The Labour Party was united. That's why they got elected. Michael Foot didn't go on Newsnight the day before the election and tell everyone not to vote for the Labour Party, did he, in 1997? And that's the sort of thing we're up against. David Blunkett said, don't vote Labour. Tony Blair said, don't vote Labour. David Miliband. I hope, I'm an eternal optimist, but I don't really buy this, you know, the unity candidate thing.
I don't agree with that. Keir Starmer's been in the shadow cabinet for quite some time now. He has had, in my opinion, the most difficult job possibly in UK politics. I mean, being the shadow Brexit secretary was a very difficult job to do. He did that admirably. The party voted at its conference last September to go into the election with the position that we had. The manner in which we came to that, I thought, was perfectly admirable in terms of we were allowing the people at the top of our party, rightly so, to negotiate this deal, and that would then be put back to the people. Yes, he was a advocate more to, particularly when we were at conference last September, more towards the Remain position. I mean, Brexit and our lack of clarity on it was certainly an election issue. That was an issue for voters as well. I happen to think that if we'd campaigned for a people's vote as we did, but then said at the same time, we are the Labour Party, we still believe that Remain is better for us, we may not have hemorrhaged as many votes as we did.
Do you see Brexit as more of an issue than, say, Jeremy Corbyn?
It's very hard to pin down what the most important one was. All I can say is I was out on the doors a heck of a lot, as was Greg, during our campaign. And people did tell us on the doors that they had an issue with the leadership, whatever that was. It wasn't just that. It was also the Brexit thing, as well as people, albeit I don't think there's anything in our manifesto that Greg and I would disagree with or we wouldn't like to see happen. But it was more people didn't believe that we were able to deliver that. And that's something we have to learn from going into the next election.
I'm interested in whether you think that a socialist government, a socialist Labour Party, can ever win a general election.
First of all, coming back on the Keir Starmer point, I agree with most of what Ross has said. It's not a massive thing, this unity thing. It's like the sort of 20%, you know, the policies are what's important. To answer your question, without a doubt, there's the Labour Party can win a election on a socialist manifesto. What I fear most is that I fear Keir Starmer will become a Neil Kinnock and try and play it safe. That's the worst thing that I think can come out of this. We need a disruptive politician like Trump, in the sense that he's disruptive, but obviously not like Trump in the sense that he's sort of, you know, right-wing bigot. And I think that's definitely the way. And the 17 election is what gives me hope about that. Is that the 17 election, in terms of and we argue on social media about seats versus percentage vote, and obviously the rules of the game are that you've got to win seats. But the point about percentage votes is that it shows you popularity and it shows you what the potential is. So the 2017 election, the Labour Party's vote was up at 40%, which is almost equal to Blair's 2001 and better than his 2005 and better than Gordon Brown and Ed Miliband in 2019. I think, to what gives me hope, I think if we had a candidate like Corbyn, who again was thrown in at the deep end, massive learning curve, but we had a good social media campaign, we have had a disruptive socialist manifesto that offers people an alternative. If what I'm going to see is that Starmer wins and he brings his professionalism to it, but we keep a 2017 type manifesto, then I'll be absolutely over the moon. But what I fear is that Keir Starmer will become a Neil Kinnock and he'll play it safe.
I don't necessarily think that that's the case. You know, Greg makes a fair point in his opinion about vote share. For me, it's a bit of a non-argument, really. The most important thing for us to do in order to bring about the progressive change in the UK, and by the way, it's only going to be the Labour Party that will do that, is we obviously need to win power. So for me, if we won 326 seats by one vote, the party and obviously a lot of people throughout the country will be happy with that, because we'll be in government and we'll be able to implement the social democratic change that will improve the lives of millions of people across the UK. To go back to your original question, I agree with Greg entirely. Of course the Labour Party can win power with a socialist agenda. We just have to win the trust of the people. We have to learn from the previous two defeats. I agree the 2017 manifesto was very good, but we did lose. We lost badly last December there in 2019. We've got to learn from both of those elections. We've got to learn from Ed Miliband's election there. But we have won before. We will be able to win again. Hopefully, this is why this leadership contest is very important, because once the new leader is in place, we can then start again, learn from all our mistakes, and hopefully move forward.